Let's read one of the key passages. We're going to return to this in the sermon. This is one of the Bible's premier passages, an extended teaching passage on anxiety. It's Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 9. Follow, please. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. There it is. Read that again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Let's bow and pray together. Thank you, Father, for this time in your holy word. We're praying that this may be a day of saving grace and redemption for sinners who are gathered with us and hearing elsewhere, who are yet in their sins and yet without Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon them and draw them to the cross. Many of us have come to you, Lord Jesus, at the cross. We've found grace and pardon and redemption. We've received everlasting life. We love you and bless you and thank you. We worship and honor and adore you. We repent of our remaining sin and pray that you would purify us and purge us through your word and the power of the Holy Spirit, even in this very hour, in this sermon. We ask for all in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. So again, here's the sermon title, Anxiety or Peace. We want to put off anxiety, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, how we think about life and things out there that would cause anxiety. And in its place, we want to have peace. What do you have if you don't have anxiety? Peace. Let's start with a case study and a question. Here's a quiz. They did real good on this one in the first hour. Let's see how you all do. Come on, second hour people. Here we go. Who would be the patron saint of anxiety in the New Testament? It's a woman. Martha. Martha. Luke 10:41. Let's go there. Here it is. A little bit of the backstory. Jesus is coming for lunch. How would you feel if Jesus was coming to your house for lunch? Would you clean a little bit? Would you make a good lunch? Yes, you would. Martha's in the kitchen and the pots and pans are banging, flowers flying. She's in there and all in a dither. Jesus is coming. We got to get everything ready. Sister Mary's out in the living room, wherever it is, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his words and learning from him and receiving life for her soul. Martha over there in the kitchen, she's getting all upset. You have the impression that this has happened many, many times before in their friendship. And she says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, don't you care? Never say that to Jesus. Lord, don't you care that my sister's leaving me in here to do all the serving? And here's what Jesus says to her. Martha, Martha. There's several people to whom Jesus repeats their name twice. It's never good. If you get to the last day and he says to you, Steve, Steve, you're probably in trouble. Martha, Martha. You are anxious. It's what she was. It's who she was. Drop her in over there. She's going to have anxiety. Put her in that circumstance. She's going to have anxiety. Take her anywhere, anytime. She's going to have. You are anxious and troubled about many things. You don't even give us a list. Just many. All kinds of things. They trouble you. And that's what anxious people are. And that's what anxious people do. Her sister Mary, from the same womb. Raised in the same home, nurtured in the same ways, living right now in the same place, same circumstances, same everything, no anxiety at all. Why does Martha have so much? Because it's in her to have it. Because it's how she deals with things. It's how she responds to things. The Lord Jesus doesn't want you. He doesn't want you, his beloved, blood-bought people. He doesn't want you to struggle and suffer under the burden of anxiety. He wants to free you from anxiety. That's what this sermon is about. That's what the texts are about that we're going to look at. because alas, there are many Marthas. And by the way, I just want you to know, I'm probably not going to sound tremendously sympathetic in this. I am sympathetic, all right? So I'll tell the truth, and then I'll temper it with something. Here's the truth about me. Based on standardized tests and all that, I probably have less anxiety than all of you. On the anxiety spectrum, I score a zero. Doesn't mean I don't have any, but it means I have less anxiety than 99 other people in an average room. So I'm not an anxiety guy. But I had one lengthy, bad bout with anxiety in my life. It was over a health issue, and for some reason, I went nuts over it. I lost control over it, and I was seriously suffering serious anxiety. So I want you to know, been there. Done that? Big sympathy. Lots of sympathy for you. But the Word of God isn't going to give you much sympathy. The Word of God is going to be like, do this, do that, don't do that, don't do that. So get ready. This is to help you. This is to bless you. All right. Let's define the thing. What is anxiety? Here's a good definition, I think. I lifted most of this from somebody else. Anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something, real or imagined, with an uncertain outcome. That's what it is. About which things do people usually suffer anxiety? There's an endless list, but most anxiety cases are about one of these four things. It's about health or money, family, or work. Most anxiety is caused there. There are, biblically speaking, I'm not so interested in clinical, psychologically speaking, biblically speaking, there are three levels of anxiety. Here's number one level, I'll call it normal concern. In the Bible, we learn we're supposed to be concerned about things. You're not supposed to be like, I don't care, I have no concern. No, if you have normal concern, you have a normal, necessary concern about normal things. It's required, it's encouraged. Paul had it. Let me show you where Paul had it. 2 Corinthians 11:28. He says, besides the other things, he just listed the other things, like I was stoned with stones, I was left for dead, I was shipwrecked, I floated around in the deep hanging onto a log for a night and a day. Besides those other things, there is this, there is what comes upon me daily. So Paul has a daily experience of what we're about to read. Here it is. My deep concern, that's the same Greek word he uses over in Philippians when he says, don't have it. It's the Greek word merimna. But here he says, he has it daily. So we have to distinguish. That word has a range of meaning. It can be stronger or weaker. It's appropriate to have concern. What he has is deep concern for all the churches. That's good. That's right. That's not off the rails, not excessive, not a problem, not debilitating. But that same thing, concern can go on steroids. That same thing, concern can go off the rails. And it's when concern is off the rails that it becomes anxiety. So there's a normal level of it. Good. The whole bunch of Proverbs address that. You ought to be concerned, it says to pastors, about the state of your flock. It says that to shepherds, which applies to pastors. Be concerned about them. You should be. That's good. Then there's an elevated level. Now this is where you're getting into trouble, and most people who are troubled by anxiety are in this level. Let's describe you in that level. You constantly interpret ordinary situations as threatening. Just an ordinary thing. We're all going through that. But to you, it's threatening. Bless you, dear brother. Bless you, dear sister. This is to help. And minor frustrations, you constantly interpret them as hopelessly difficult. It's not difficult. It's an easy thing. We're all dealing with that. But to you, it becomes a big, big thing. And your negative emotional reactions tend to persist for unusually long periods of time. You don't have a little concern that disappears off your radar. No, it's big. It's an overreaction, and it stays there a long, long time. That's elevated concern. That's elevated anxiety. It is out of proportion to the situations. It is overreaction to the situations. This is what your Savior wants to deliver you from. This is what the scriptures we're looking at today and are intended to deliver you from. Excessive, not measured, not controlled. And when you have that, you know it, don't you? Just dealing with life every day requires a ton of work. Every day struggling with anxiety. Let's go one step further while we're talking about this level. Sometimes people at this level, people who have a lot of anxiety, it's out of that group that people who have panic attacks come. And there are panic attacks. I've never had one, so I can't say I've been there, done that. I've never had one. But panic attacks are very related to high levels of anxiety. Anxiety is a gradual and steady thing. Panic attacks are sudden and intense. About 11% of people experience them. The vast majority of them are irrational. They are about things that are not about to happen, not going to happen, will never happen. They're imagined. It might be a mother who has three little ones and she has a panic attack. My kids are going to die. My children are going to die. There's no threat. There's nothing happening. You're not going somewhere dangerous. It's just, it's irrational, but it's powerful. My children are going to die. The vast majority of panic attacks happen in response to ordinary, non-threatening situations. For some people, if you've had one, you can read about what it's like. The experience is so terrible, so terrifying, so frightening, that just thinking about, oh, I might have a panic attack, is enough to give you a panic attack. It's a terrible thing. But all this is addressed in God's word, not panic attacks per se, but anxiety from which they come. Now, we're going to look at some key passages, and I want to tell you, we're not wasting our time. These are key passages. Several of them are extended teaching passages, one by the Apostle Paul, one by our Lord Jesus Christ, telling us what to do about, how to respond to, how to deal with, how to manage anxiety. So if you have some anxiety, this is supposed to help you. This is God speaking to you about that anxiety. Now, before I go into the first passage, which is going to be back to Philippians chapter 4, I want to tell you there are other things, just common sense health things that will help you. For example, it will help you if you get out in the sun. Don't wear a hat with a brim. You need the sun in your eyes. Don't wear shades. You need the sun in your eyes. Go sleeveless. You need as much sun on as much of your body. Don't go out there in your swim trunks. That'll look a little weird, all right? But go out there, get sun on your body and get sun in your eyes. Get exercise. Exercise is a tremendous help in the face of anxiety. Go to the gym, go running, do something. It's very helpful. Eat healthy, that's helpful. Have good times with family and friends, that's helpful. Try to sleep well. If you have anxiety, you're probably waking up at 2 and lying there for an hour worrying. Don't. Try to sleep well. But now we're going to leave those common sense helps aside, and we're going to go to some scripture that teaches us God's word, God's will on human anxiety. Philippians 4, 4 through 9, one of the big ones. Here we go. Rejoice in the Lord always. So I don't know, but I'm thinking that if you have a lot of anxiety going on, you're not rejoicing. How many think I'm right? You think I'm right? Does that make sense? So Paul wants to free you from the anxiety. He wants to land you in joy. He wants you to be rejoicing in the Lord always. So one of your tools, one of your bullets that you're going to fire against your anxiety is, wait a minute, I'm going to spend some time rejoicing. I'm going to rehearse all that I have to be joyful about in my mind. Instead of thinking about my problem and the worry and the fear and what might happen and so on, I'm going to spend my time thinking about my joy in the Lord. The joy of my salvation, the joy of being a child of God, the joy of heaven forever and ever and ever. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Just in case you didn't get it, again, I will say, rejoice. So one thing you need to do is focus on joy. Oh, Lord, give me joy. Rehearse in your mind the things that should give you joy. Thank the Lord for them and find joy. Now he goes on to say, here's another thing you do. This is in the context of anxiety, as you'll shortly see in the text. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. When you have anxiety, you are not being reasonable. That doesn't call for this. That is not to be responded to by this. You're doing the this. You're not being reasonable. Instead of them seeing you being unreasonable and overly anxious about things that might not even ever happen, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Okay, you're be renewed in the spirit of your mind and you can reason about that thing biblically. Wait a minute, God's sovereign over it. I submit to him. I trust him. I bow before him. I bless him. Whatever he ordains, I know is good and right. So, Lord, have your will with my life. Have your way with my life. And I'm going to spend my time here rejoicing. Now you seem very reasonable to me. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Next, the Lord is at hand. How's that fit into context of anxiety? You're going to be in heaven real fast. So what's all the worry about? You're going to heaven. There with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the holy angels and the spirits of just men made perfect forever and ever and ever. The Lord is at hand. So what comes next? So do not be anxious about anything. Wait a minute, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know. It's a thing. Don't be anxious about it. It's a thing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, here's what you do. Here's God's plan for how to deal with anxiety. Step back before we go on. Let me just make a few comments. This is the part of the sermon where I might get in trouble with some of you. Some of you get mad at me. Some of you get upset at me. If you want to, email Jason Wallace, please. How's that? Take it up with Jason. He'll deal with this. So I just want to say at this point, the tendency of psych in our day, the tendency of therapy in our day is to go quickly to meds. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's possible meds may have their place in extreme cases of elevated stuff. If somebody needs to be institutionalized, they probably need some meds. And after trying all kinds of other things not helping, somebody might need meds, but my personal opinion, we go way too fast to meds. And there are other things you should go to first. Notice nothing in the Word, I know they didn't have these meds then, but nothing in the Word says, oh, you need some meds. Oh, you need some therapy. One of the problems with the meds is they will artificially, I'm going to say it, they will artificially dull you to the anxiety, but you haven't really dealt with the problem. They're dealing with a symptom, not the problem. The problem is you, your soul, a lack of trust in God, a lack of submission to God, a lack of trust in his sovereignty and his goodness and his providence, a lack of willingness to go through what he might take you through and go through it to the glory of God and with thankfulness, a lack of thankfulness in your soul, a lack of trust is often there. And I know some of it's nature and some of it's nurture. And the nature part, it's going to be, some of you have it by nature. You know, I'm zero on that spectrum. Some of you are 90 on that spectrum. You're going to struggle with anxiety. Going to be a struggle. I'm not saying you need to be rid of it. I want to know you're in the fight. I want to know you're struggling with the power of the Word of God. So Paul doesn't say, go get some meds. Here's what he's going to say. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Oh, no. He's going to tell me, go pray about it. Well, I did, and it didn't help. All right, you didn't pray enough. Go seek the face of God, get on your face, get on your knees, and stay there till you can get up and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, that sounds like work. Well, you want to get better? You want it easy. I'd rather take a pill. It's easy. I don't have to do anything. No. There's work to do. There's work with your soul. You have worked your soul into the wrong place. You worked your thoughts into the wrong place. You got to work them back out. And here's one thing you have to do. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So you pray and really seek the Lord's face about this thing and rise up and be thankful and joyful in the Lord and trust him and bow and bless him. And what will happen? And the peace of God. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to ask you, how great must be the peace of God? I think that's okay peace. I think that's really amazing, wonderful peace. Yeah. And the peace of God, the very peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Like if you have that, you're going through that and you've got the peace of God. I don't get it. It surpasses my understanding. How can he be suffering that? How can she be going through that? And she's rejoicing in the Lord, which surpasses all understanding. Here's what that peace will do. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The problem is in your heart. The problem is in your mind. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. But there's more. Finally, brothers, here you got some thinking to do. You have some renewing of your mind to do. Put off, renew your mind, put on. Here's what you're putting on. Here's what you need to learn to think about. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. You're not thinking about those things. You need to start thinking about those things. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What is anxiety? It's what you're thinking about and how you're thinking about them. So you have to think about different things. You have to think about your problems and your situations in a different way. You have to be able to look at the problem and say, God's sovereign over that. I trust him. I bow and I bless. If he wants to take me through that, bring it on, Lord. Just give me grace, please. You suffer a loss. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's in your soul. It's in your heart. It's in your thoughts. Think about these things. There's one more thing to do. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Find a good example. Practice these things, and the God of peace, the peace of God and the God of peace, will be with you. This is one of the Bible's premier passages on dealing with human anxiety. It's got boatloads of good stuff in it. Let me take you to a brief Old Testament text. Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Amen? Mm-hmm. Weighs it down. Heavy-hearted. What can help? Here's an interesting thing, but a good word makes it glad. What do you need when you're struggling with anxiety? Your brothers and sisters in Christ speaking good words into your soul. Your good friends that you can trust speaking good words into your soul. You got anxiety. You don't feel like being around anybody else. You need to go be around brothers and sisters in Christ. Let them speak to you. A good word makes your heart glad. Here, let me give you another good text. Not one of the large teaching passages, but another great text. 1 Peter 5:6. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. That's part of dealing with anxiety. When I'm having anxiety, I'm treating things like I'm all alone here, and I've got to deal with that, and I've got to figure that out, and I have to respond to that, and woe is me, it's too big, it's too terrible, it's too awful. Well, wait a minute, you have a Father in heaven. Humble yourself under his mighty hand. He's there. He's your God. He's over this. His mighty hand is working in your life. So humble yourself. Humble means, well, Lord, I'm really willing to go through the difficulties you put in my way. Lord, I'm willing to trust you, not me. I don't need to take charge of this. I'm trusting you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. And then this, casting all your anxieties on him. Because he cares for you. You've got to learn a whole lot more about how much God cares for you and just cast your anxieties his way. Lord, I'm worrying and worrying and worrying about my job. I'm just going to bring that whole situation up to you and cast it upon you. There, you're in charge. I'm going to rest and trust and submit and wait. And whatever the outcome is, it's in your hands, Lord. He cares for you. Here's another short one that's helpful. It doesn't use the word anxiety, but it talks about the thing and not the bare word. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's anxiety. Mm-hmm. But of power and of love. Anxiety is all about me. Love is all about you. Get out of me and get into you. Love you, serve you, fellowship with you, give to you. And of a sound mind. When you have anxiety, you are not of a sound mind. It's a mental infirmity, particularly the really strong kinds. It's a mental infirmity, and you're not of a sound mind. But God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. So you're thinking rightly about what's going on. You're thinking in proportion to what's going on. You're thinking with God in the picture, what's going on. You're thinking about God's involvement and sovereignty and providence in your life with what's going on. God's given us spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Those are some shorter passages. Now let's come back to another of the New Testament's major extended teaching passages on this subject of anxiety. And this time it's the Lord Jesus talking. We're in Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Well, whenever you're anxious, it's about your life. So he's pretty much saying, don't ever be anxious. Don't be anxious about dying, your life, dying. Because death is but our entrance into glory in Christ. Dying ushers me into the presence of that one who I supremely love. Can't wait to see, can't wait to be with. Done breathing, done sinning. Dying ushers me into holiness. Everything about dying, except the experience, is good. Everything that comes after dying is wonderful, and you want it more than you want all of this. So don't be anxious about your life dying. But then he says specifically what he has in mind. It's not dying, but it's what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Mundane stuff. Don't be anxious about all that. Jesus commands you, do not be anxious. He wants to free you from that. He wants to release you from that. He wants to bless you from that. It's going to be hard for some, going to be easy for others, but good for all. It's for all of us. Now Jesus goes on and he gives us some helps. He gives us some reasons. Here's reason number one, because there are bigger things. You're worried about, what am I going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? How am I going to buy the kids' school clothes? How are we going to pay for all the tennis shoes? How are we going to pay for all the sporting things that we need? Don't worry about that, because there are bigger things. Matthew 6, 25b, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What are you worried about? Those are little things. You want to worry about something? Worry about your unsaved friend. How am I going to get them to believe on the Lord Jesus? You're not going to get. How am I going to get the gospel to them? Worry about the kingdom of God. Man, I want to see more people believing. I want to see the churches more faithful. I want to see churches that are growing. Worry about those big things if you're going to worry. Worry about coming to Christ, growing in Christ, serving Christ. There are bigger things, reason number one. Reason number two, and you can trust in God's providential care, Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds of the air. Object lesson, birds. How many bird watchers do we have in the room? Debbie and I are bird watchers. We love our birds. What's my favorite bird? The pileated woodpecker. He's that big. It's Woody Woodpecker. We had two of them in our yard not long ago. We love birds. We feed the birds. We watch the birds. We have a bird living in our house. His name is Pablo. He's Spanish, but he's a parakeet. We love our little parakeet. I'll tell you, give you an aside. So every night there's a little ritual. I'm usually the one who puts him to bed. I have to go put our little baby to bed. So I go over and I open the door of his cage and I put my finger in there and I say, step up. And he steps up on my finger and I talk to him. I don't look right at him because your eyes terrify them. So you look away, talk to him, glance over there every now and then. He loves it. I fly him around his cage a little bit. Then I put him up on the upper rope. He steps on the rope. He turns around this way and then I have him back on my finger. We sit there for a while. I talk to him. We have fellowship together, trying to lead him to Christ. No. And then I leave that, and then I get underneath, there's this dark cover. I put the big dark cover over him, and then later close the door of the cover on him. That's our little nighttime ritual. I'm the one who usually puts him to bed. Debbie's usually the one who gets him up, feeds him, waters him, a little ritual with that, and so on and so forth. We have a bird. Well, how did I get into that? Where are we? Look at the birds of the air. We get to look at one in our house. I guarantee you, Pablo neither sows nor reaps nor gathers into barns. We feed him. I go to Amazon, press the buy again button, food shows up. I feed him. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now here's the punchline. Are you not of more value than they? Don't you think God's going to take care of you? You're not a bird. You're a human made in the image of God. You have an eternal soul. Are you not of more value than they? Can't you trust God? Can't you trust God in his providential care? Yeah, I can trust God. Many of you already know Debbie's mother lived with us. She had dementia. She died in our front room. Lived with us for 2.5 years. The whole time she never knew who I was. She knew who Debbie was to the latter parts. Then she didn't know who Debbie was either. But I think she thought she was in an institution and I was one of the nurses there. She had lost facial recognition. A lot of people with dementia lose that. They can't recognize face. Faces are scrambled and she doesn't know who you are. But she knew my voice. So I'd walk in the room and talk and she'd say, "Oh, you're that one." So we'd talk for a while. But sometimes when she was not having a great day, she would say to me, "Who's going to take care of me? Who's going to take care of me?" And so I'd tell her, "Alice, your daughter Debbie," most of the time she still knew who that was, "your daughter Debbie, I'm her husband." She didn't understand that. It just didn't go in. "I'm her husband. I'm married to your daughter Debbie. You live here with us, and we are going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. You're one of my girls. Your daughter's my girl, and you're my girl. I'm one of you. I take care of my girls. You're one of my girls. I'm going to take care of you." She didn't get it. When you've got anxiety, you don't get it. God is saying to you, "You're one of my blood-bought children. Don't you think I'll take care of you? You're in my family. I've redeemed you. I'm going to take you into everlasting blessing. Don't you think I'll care for you?" You can trust in God's providential care. Reason number three. Furthermore, anxiety, Jesus says, doesn't help anything. Amen? Yep. Matthew 6:27. "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Can you? Can you live longer by being anxious? Yep. I'm afraid of dying. Well, if you're going to have anxiety about it, you're going to die sooner. That stuff kills. It's not healthy. You can't live longer. It doesn't help. Anxiety doesn't help. Anxiety about death will never, 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 never lengthen your life. It serves no useful purpose. And so with all anxiety, it never helps the situation. Probably makes things worse. Jesus, we're told in the book of Hebrews, Jesus came to deliver those who all their life long were subject to bondage through the fear of death. You're supposed, in Christ, you're supposed to be delivered from the fear of death. I might not like the experience of it. That could be pretty rough. But once I'm through that experience, oh man, it's glory. So anxiety doesn't help get me there. Reason number four. You have a heavenly Father. Trust him. Matthew 6:32-33. "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? Or what are we going to wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things." You're acting like a Gentile who doesn't have a heavenly Father, who doesn't have a God. You're acting like he's not there. "The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." See, it always comes down to trust. Can I submit to God? Can I trust him? Can I entrust him, myself into his care? Do I believe he's a loving, present, gracious heavenly Father? He owns the universe. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He can sell one and buy me lunch. It'll be okay. You have a heavenly Father. Trust him. Learn more about him. Learn more about the attributes of God. Let me just say right here, 2 books for you. How many of you want to know 2 books? All of you, of course. Going to buy them today, Amazon. Be there tomorrow. The first one is one of the classics of the last century. Like, not many books written, Christian books written in the last century, deserve to last, and they won't. They'll be forgotten. So don't waste your time on them, pretty much. But J.I. Packer's Knowing God. If any book's going to last out of the last century for a long, long time yet, that book's going to last, I predict. Who am I? And you read through J.I. Packer's Knowing God, then I've read through it a number of times because it's that good. Some of the weight of the worth, the measure of the worth of a book is it worth reading a second time? That book will teach you who God is, what his attributes are, how great he is. It will broaden and expand your understanding of the great God of the heavens and the earth. You will trust him more. You will bow and bless, and you'll have less anxiety. Here's the second book. Title is The Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. The author is Lorraine Bettner, B-O-E-T, 2 T's, N-E-R. Lorraine Bettner's Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. Story about that one. We had a man in this church. He's in heaven now. His name was John. John was in his 40s. I'm going to guess. I don't know. 47. And he got brain cancer. It was bad. He had cancer. He's going to die. I'm visiting him in the hospital. He says, Pastor, what can I read that will help me get through this to the glory of God? What can I read that will help me get through this and, you know, stabilize my soul? And I told him, he was not a reader guy, but hey, you're dying. Read. I told him, Lorraine Bettner's Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. He got a copy and he read it. Just before he died, I went to see him again. I saw him a number of times. Went to see him again. He said, Pastor, that book, I read it cover to cover, and that's what really helped me get through this. A good theology book on who is God? What's going on down here? He's sovereign. He's wise. He's holy. He's everywhere present. Who is God? How can I trust him? It will pour concrete into your soul. Trust him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean unto your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Where there's anxiety, there's always a lack of trust or a lack of submission to God, his purposes, his plans in your life. Reason number five, Jesus gives us more, Matthew 6, 33. And this isn't a very good phrase. I would change it if I had it to do again, but here it is. If you do your part, God will do his. What's that mean? Matthew 6, 33. But you, here's your part, seek first the kingdom of God. Instead of being all about anxiety, 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 anxiety is me, my life is anxiety. Get busy seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What will happen? All the things you're worried about will be added to you. I like that. I like the math. It's kind of like math to me. I give this to God. He gives me all the things that I'm worrying about. Get busy seeking first his kingdom. Reason number six. Furthermore, Jesus says today's trouble was enough to deal with. Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. What does that mean? You have more to worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it today. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Just live one day at a time. Deal with today's trouble. It's like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you live to the glory of God? One day at a time. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, summary time. So, what should we say about anxiety? Number one, I want to return to this common grace theme, this common sense theme. Get some sunlight. Get some exercise. Eat some healthy food. It will do you a lot of good. That alone can give you a lot of help. But then let's come back to the Word of God. So read Scripture, especially passages on this theme and on the nature of God, the attributes of God, sovereignty of God, the power of God, the glory of God, the wisdom of God. Read Scripture and meditate and pray. Many people want a quick fix. Give me a pill. I can take a pill every day. I don't want to take much time and seek God's face. Well, I'm sorry. You need to really seek God's face. And next, and learn about God and trust him. Go back to the two books I mentioned. And next, submit to God. Lord, whatever you ordain for my life, I bow, I bless. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever you want to do with me, have your way with me, O Lord. Just give me grace because I'm weak. And help me to glorify you in it and trust you in it. And next, get busy with your duties. Seek first the kingdom of God. Those are your duties. And also duties like changing diapers and changing the oil. Get busy. When you've got anxiety, you want to sit around and mope. It's like it's close to depression. They're cousins. You need to make yourself get busy with your duties. And next, enjoy godly fellowship. Remember, a good word. A good word helps that heavy heart in an anxious person. And finally, rejoice and give thanks. Start your day off rejoicing. Read some Psalms of joy. End your day with rejoicing. Write down on a 3x5 card every night before you go to sleep three things that happened in that day for which you are thankful. And give the Lord thanks for those things. Now you're in the battle. Now you're in war. I don't have it on the list, but it occurs to me right now. And maybe talk to one of your pastors. We'd love to help you. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time in your holy word. We're so thankful that our salvation, our redemption is by grace through faith in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, Father, for those who don't know him, that you might make manifest the abundance of your mercy and your grace, that pardons sinners and receives them into the family of God. Oh Lord, would you draw in men and women and boys and girls in this building today that they may know the Lord and be saved? Many of us are. And we pray, oh Father, help us to know how big you are, how gracious you are, how powerful you are, how wise you are. Help us to bow and submit our wills to yours and to find thankfulness and joy as we follow you, Lord Jesus. It's in your name that we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Mm-hmm.